But before we do that, last week I preached on the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, for those of us who were here. And you were challenged to partner with God in making disciples of all nations, starting right here in Durban North. But during the sermon last week, I asked you to think back to your baptism, to think back to the day you gave your heart to the Lord and your relationship with God was the most important relationship in your life. Remember that? I asked you to think back to that moment. And then I asked you if you still had your joy left, the same passion, the same commitment, the same drive. And maybe for some of you last week, that pricked a bit of a nerve. Because as you thought back, you realized, well, maybe my relationship with God is just not the same anymore. My passion, my joy, my commitment to His commission, to His gospel is not the same anymore. And if that's you, then this morning's sermon will speak directly to you. If it's not you, if you still have the same passion, the same love, the same commitment, well, that's awesome. This morning's sermon will help you show God's grace, His love and repentance to those who don't feel like you do. And so we're going to read Psalm 51 together, but a bit of background before we read it. It's crucial for us to understand the context of this, even before we get there. Now, Daniel was rocking life as the king of Israel. He was really enjoying all the bells and whistles while his armies were out there fighting the good fight and wrecking most of his enemies, smashing them to pieces. If you like action movies, I would highly encourage you to go and read 2 Samuel. It's packed with action. Some really good stuff, far better than the stuff you see on TV. You would absolutely enjoy it. But Daniel is chilling as the king. He's in his palace, his troops are fighting, he's chilling, and he decides to go for a walk on his rooftop. And while he goes for a little walk on the rooftop, he checks out this lady having a bath on her rooftop. David. What did I say? Daniel, are you serious? That's why John didn't want me to preach twice on a Sunday. Because our evening service is about Daniel. Edit that. No, we can't. Thank you. David. It's the same letter. They're going to hear you laughing on the recording too. That's funny. Okay, so it's David. David, David. Next time if I say Daniel, just go David. And then hopefully I'll remember. But okay, David. Thank you. I wonder why you were like giggling. Okay. David is walking on his rooftop. He checks this lady having a bath on her rooftop. Now that's a bit dodgy, isn't it? Like, who baths on the rooftop? Anyone? Avoid their house. Yesterday, if you were in the Virgin Active gym, men's showers, our windows were wide open. I could see the cars driving up and down. I'm like, this is just awkward. So David's having a walk on his rooftop. He checks Bathsheba having a bath and he likes what he sees that much that he asks one of his officials to go and fetch her and tell her, the king would like to chat to you. Now, most ladies would go, sure, the president wants to talk to me, I'll go. But Daniel, oh, there we go again. David's desire is so strong, he finds out that Bathsheba's actually married to Uriah. He gets him killed, and then what happens? Nathan is called by God to come and chat to David about his sin. This is going to be a difficult morning. God calls Nathan to come and chat to David about his sin, confront his sin, and call David to repentance. You see, David tried to hide it. And if you go read that story in Samuel, he tries to hide it, and Nathan just tunes him, dude, you're the guy that kills other people's husbands and then sleeps with them. And then David writes this psalm, Psalm 51. Let's read that together. From verse 1. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. against you, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. The first question for many of us this morning is, how do I relate to David? I haven't committed adultery, right? I haven't committed murder. Those sins are just hectic, man. But before we fall into the trap that one sin is greater than the other, Romans 3:23 reminds us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So to put the record straight, there is no sin, big or small. All sin is equal in the eyes of God. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for all sin, the entire world's sin. Not just the sin for the goody two shoes who only stole a cookie out of the cookie jar once. Jesus died for all sin. He died for the rapists, the murderers, the fib tellers, and even the cookie jar monsters. The sin of the world was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and today you and I need to be so grateful that all sin was nailed to that cross. Because if we believe that only certain sins were nailed to that cross, then only certain sins can be forgiven. And thank goodness for that. Thank goodness that all sin was nailed to that cross. But this morning, you could find yourself in the same place as David. Because all sin is equal, right? Where you are overwhelmed by your guilt and shame. Where you find yourself in the similar place to David, where he had committed a sin he thought God would not forgive. To the extent where he tore his robes, he fell down on his knees in guilt and shame. And then he writes these words. Verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love and your great compassion, blot out all my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me." David is saying, God, my sin is so hectic, so incredibly horrendous. Please, Lord, have mercy on me. Have compassion on me because I know that my head should be on the chopping block for what I have done. I know, Lord, that I have rebelled against you and you only have I sinned. Please, Lord, according to your great compassion and mercy, wipe away my sins. Wipe away my guilt. David laments. You pick that up in verse 5. He laments and he says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Please note that David's not trying to justify his sin. Rather, he recognizes his original fallen nature. But he doesn't use it as a cop-out. He just declares that and says, "Okay, I know I'm fallen, Lord, but please have mercy on me." Just like Paul in Romans 7, if you're taking notes, Paul says that in him dwelt no good thing. Not a single good thing. So Paul, David recognized their fallen nature. They recognized their need for salvation. And so we need to follow David's example. When we are confronted by our sin, we are called to man up, take ownership of that sin, and possibly even the consequences. David's sin had severe consequences, not just for his life, but for the whole kingdom. David owned it, and he didn't try and use cop-outs to get away from it. He didn't try and justify his sin. Verse 6, he kind of nullifies any possible justification. He says, "Yet, Lord, you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place." David knew what he was supposed to do. Just like you and I know how we are supposed to live as Christians. We know that we should fulfill the Great Commission. We know we should go out there and make disciples. But sometimes, and often, very often, we mess up to the extent that our joy, our passion, and our commitment for that commission is wrecked. It is stolen. It's ripped out of our hearts. And we are just filled with guilt and shame. And we just sit there going, "But Lord, I can't. Have mercy on me because I'm just a sinner. I cannot tell others about you because they might find out how bad I am." Hey, we should learn from David that even when we sin, we should confess those sins. We should own up because that's the only way we can be forgiven. A very practical and relational example, if someone comes up to you and says, "Please forgive me," what's your first response? For what? Hey? It just relationally doesn't work that way. You can't just go, "Please forgive me," and the person's like, "Yeah, sure, great." But in God's eyes, he knows what you've done. So we can use that as an excuse. "Well, God, you know what I've done, to just forgive me." But the same relational expectation applies with God that applies with any other human being. We confess our sins to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, I own up. I have hurt you and sinned against you. Please have mercy on me. Please show me compassion and wash me clean." In that moment, you ask forgiveness. And notice what David does. He asks forgiveness in a very, very special way, in a very delicate way. "Wash me clean. Give me a clean start, Lord. Wash me so that I'm whiter than snow. Wipe my transgressions away from your face to the extent where I'm never reminded about it again." That's his request. And it's so deep. It's so amazing. When we confess our sin to God or to someone else, in that moment you own that sin and possibly even the consequences. And so let us seek forgiveness like David did. David shows us that regardless of our sin, remember all sin is equal, regardless of our sin, if we seek forgiveness from a pure and contrite heart, God will hear our prayers. He will wipe your slate clean. He will give you a fresh start this morning. If you feel like you are overwhelmed by your sin and guilt and shame, this morning God wants to restore you. This morning he wants to wipe that slate clean. This morning he says, "Let's start again. Let's start over." You could be sitting here this morning going, "Yes, Jan, that's me. I have messed up, either through sin or the lack of fulfilling the Great Commission. I have messed up. Please, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Give me a clean start." This morning, God wants to do that. You see, David completely understood the depths of his sin. And so when he asks God to forgive him and wash him clean again, he tells us to do the same. He sets that example for us to follow. And so if you can relate to David this morning, where you feel like you just can't teach sinners the ways of God because of your sin, Ask God this morning to wipe your slate clean. Start again this morning. Ask God to create a pure heart within you. And you could be here this morning and go, well, yeah, and I've done that. I've sinned. I've confessed those sins to God and to those whom I've hurt. They have forgiven me. God has forgiven me. But this morning I'm sitting here and my joy isn't there. I'm walking around like a wounded duck. Like it's just, yeah, and I hear you. It's awesome. I'm just going to try and live this life to the end. This morning God wants to tell you, I want to restore your joy back to that day where you first gave your heart to me. I want to restore your passion and your commitment to me this morning so that you would go out and teach others my ways, that you would call others who have sinned to repentance with integrity. Do you want your joy back? Do you want your joy back? Well, then ask for it. Ask the Lord, just like David did, restore unto me this morning, Lord, the joy of my salvation. And remember, there are a couple of steps before that that you need to follow. What stole your joy? Who stole it? Identify it. Own it. Ask for forgiveness. And allow God then to restore you as he wipes you clean, gives you a clean slate. Now, for some of you, you're still not getting this. You're like, okay, I don't get this. Have you ever played sports with a serious injury? Like just trying to hit a golf ball with a sore back is a mission. But any of you who don't play golf or you play any other sport, you've torn that hamstring just a little, and you used to play really, really good, but now you've got this niggle. And the coach picks it up, and your friends and your mates pick it up, so they don't pass the ball to you anymore. They kind of skip past every time. You're like, I'm getting there. I'm coming. But that is a very simple illustration of what sin could do to our lives. That's just far deeper than that. Where we kind of go, yes, Jan, one day, like I've confessed my sins and all the other stuff that you told me to do, and God's wiped the slate clean, but one day my joy will come back. Why on earth do you want to live for one day where right now you can play the best game ever? Right now you can take that pass and score that try. Right now you can show others the joy that you should have. Just ask God to restore that hamstring right now. And then you will play with the same joy as day one, when you put on that green and gold for the first time. Just notice how Warren Whiteley and the guys played for the first time when they got onto the field. That same joy, but at a spiritual level, should come out of us every single day. When we wake up and we ask God, restore, Lord, today the joy of my salvation. Help me live out this life with the same passion as I used to live out for some of us years ago. This morning, God wants to restore that joy. And you could be here this morning and go, well, Jan, I've been there. I've confessed my sins. God's cleaned me up. He's given me my joy. But then I hit a pothole. And I got stuck in that mud waist deep. And I was like, this sucks. It stinks. It hurts. It's not lekker. And you're like, okay, well, I remember this confession thing. This thing in Psalm 51. Let me try that again. Lord, I'm stuck in the mud. It was my own fault. I thought this was a road, and it's not. Help me out. God cleans you up. Says, okay, back on your feet. Gives you a pat on the back, and your joy is back in line, and off you go running again. And then there's the evil one, and this time he builds a really big pothole where you've got no long jump, or you're just going to go. And it happens, and you fall into that pothole again, and you just end up going through the spiritual life, knocked down, knocked down, knocked down, defeated, defeated, to the extent where you might be sitting here this morning going, is it really worth it? Is the spiritual life worth it? Notice what David does after he asks for his joy to be restored. He asks God to give him a spirit that will sustain him to the very end of his life. Give me a willing spirit that will stain me, Lord. That even when I dive headfirst into a pothole, that I've got enough of your spirit in me that I would reach out and go, Lord, help. I'm drowning. Pull me out of this one. Help me, Father. So we can come, we can confess our sins. God will forgive our sins when we confess it. He will give us a clean slate. He will restore your joy. But also ask him and allow him to create a spirit in you that will sustain you, because potholes will come. Guaranteed. Either they're self-inflicted, but 9 times out of 10, it's the evil one not wanting you any closer to God than what you already are. He wants you to stay in that mud forever. And this morning, if you believe that lie, if you believe the lie that you can never restore or be restored in terms of your relationship with God, this morning God wants to tell you that's an absolute lie. You will be restored. All you need to do is ask for it this morning. And as you ask for your joy to be restored, ask God to give you a willing and sustained spirit, that when those temptations come, when those potholes come, you can get through it in his strength. And then hopefully you and I will all be able to conclude with David in Psalm 51, verse 13. Lord, once you have restored my joy of my salvation and given me a spirit to sustain me through all of life's struggles and temptations, Lord, then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. Remember last week's sermon. We are commissioned to go and make disciples, but it is so difficult, isn't it? To go and make disciples when we are living in guilt and shame. It is so difficult to go and make disciples when we have no joy anymore. Where it's like, yeah, Jesus loves me. No. God doesn't want that at all. He wants you and I to walk around on this earth and go, Jesus loves me more than anybody else. Oh, wow. Amen. I heard one amen. Come on. This morning, he wants to restore that joy. If you are sitting here this morning and you are just overwhelmed by your guilt and shame, this morning, he wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a clean slate. This morning, God wants you to start again. To the extent where your joy is restarted again. And you go out into your everyday life and you go, yes, Jesus rocks again. And you're kind of headbanging down the malls. People are like, what's up with that person? You go, well, this is up. It happened this week with somebody that I know. That someone just said to them, there's something about you. There's some spiritual energy in your life. And I'm like, yes! And this person was speaking to a Muslim lady, and I'm like, ooh. Right now, I'm just like, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Now, we have about 150 people here this week. So this week, if God restores and he wants to restore your joy, next week, I want to hear stories. Jan, I rocked it this week, and this lady came to me and said, there's some energy coming out of you. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit, and oh, next week, our church will be full. Come on, hey. But on that note, I really want you to have the same oomph, the same joy. Because there is no greater joy than this. And to see someone else see the love of Jesus in you and go, what you got, I want. Tell me about it. And because you've got that joy and you know that your sins are forgiven, when you share that passion with someone, they can only go, yes, this God rocks. Let's pray together. Lord, as we sit here this morning, I know that for some of us, we are overwhelmed by our guilt and shame. Sin is holding us back from really experiencing the joy of your salvation. And so for some of us, Lord, right now you are calling us to repentance. You're asking us, Lord, to own up to our sin and confess our sin to you. And so this morning, if that's you, if you know that something is holding you back from experiencing the joy that God wants you to have, I want you to be bold enough this morning to stand where you are and say, yes, Lord, I know that I have messed up. I know that I have sinned. I know that I have failed to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, this morning, please, I confess my sins to you. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have compassion on me. And if that's you this morning, I want you to stand. Be bold enough to say, Lord, that's me. That's me. Please forgive me, Father. Or you might be sitting here this morning and you have confessed your sins to the Lord. You have experienced His forgiveness like never before. But you're still held back by your guilt. Your joy is still lost. If that's you this morning and you want your joy restored again, I want you to be bold enough to stand and say, Lord, I want my joy restored. I want to stand and I expect you, Lord, just like David did, that after my confession, to restore my joy again. And help me, Lord, to live this life filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, that when others see me, they ask, what is it that you have? I want what you've got. And then lastly this morning, you might have that joy in you, but you have forgotten verse 13. That as a person filled with joy, we are commissioned to teach others the commands of Christ. To reveal to sinners that they need to turn from their wicked ways and come back to the Lord. If that's you this morning, you are filled with joy, but you have forgotten to fulfill the Great Commission. I want you to be bold enough to stand and say, Lord, please help me. Put a sustainable spirit in me that I can live out this life with joy again and tell others about you. And then for the rest of the church, I want us all to stand together right now in support of those who are standing. Let us stand and show them that we are here with them. It's not just you. We as a church together are called to go and tell the world that Jesus lives. And so, Lord, this morning you can see us all standing. And we just pray, Lord, that you will help us fulfill your Great Commission. Help us to teach others your commands. Restore for some of us the joy of our salvation. And for some of us here this morning, forgive us of our sins. And help us to live out this life to your glory again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The songs that we've chosen.